Hi, I'm Karen. I'm a compulsive overeater and bulimic.
Hi, Karen.
Hi, everybody. And I consented to have this on podcast. It adds a little bit of pressure, I got to say, or a little bit to my self-importance and need for showmanship. But the truth is, I use the podcast that comes out of L.A. It's like part of my program. It really helps center me on my way to work, you know, regularly. So that's the service. And it's the modern age, right? So I've been a participating, active, mostly abstinent member of Overeaters Anonymous since March of 1985. So I've been here more than half my life. I've spent most of my adult life here. I came in at 20. I'm now 52. I'm in my 31st year. And I'll give you the rest of the stats that we all want to hear anyway. But and if you really need to know, I hit menopause this year. So I have done adolescence through menopause in this program. Sorry, guys. That's just the way that it is. I thought summer was bad. I really realize now winter is much tougher than summer because of the clothes. But that's who I am, how long I've been here. I came in at age 20 and what it was like. So we have a format, what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. I came in just before my 21st birthday with the plan to kill myself on my 21st birthday, primarily behind this disease. I could not stop eating. I wanted to. More than anything else, I didn't want to stop eating as much as I wanted to be thin. And I was absolutely baffled as to why I wanted to be thin so much and I could not stop eating. And I'm not talking about I couldn't stop, you know, doing a little this or a little that. I'm the kind of girl who ate till she hurt. I ate till I had to lie down. I ate till I had to purge it by any means necessary. So I have a really bad disease, and I'm just lucky that I got here young. I've been spared. I've been spared a tremendous amount because you guys have saved my life. Welcome to Saturday Morning Desperation. You know, it's my story. And so what else do I want to say about that? So that's kind of the statistics. I came in probably about 35, 40 pounds heavier than I am as well, too. And this little form you have me fill out says your abstinent date, so my current length of abstinence dates from about October of 2007. But what I want to share with you is that over my almost 32 years here, the bulk of it has been spent abstinent. I've had kind of brief relapses. I've never left other than the brief screw you, I'm never coming back, and then I'm immediately so miserable I have to go back to a meeting. Because I just got this thing. So welcome if you're new, if you're newish. I consider newish within the first 5 years. You know, I didn't start to feel well until about then. You know, I didn't start to feel like I had a foundation that I could stand on until about then. And I have other problems besides being a compulsive overeater that really made it hard for me to abstain. But all that stuff has gotten better. But I felt relief from compulsive overeating from the very first meeting. And the reason for that is you told the truth. You talked about eating in a way I got and that nobody else did. You know, it wasn't about dieting. So I haven't dieted for 32 years. So I got here kind of through the back door of another program, but, you know, knew that if I didn't get here, I was completely screwed. I got here young, but when I talk about all the things that I tried, you know, the dieting, the bulimia, I'm a compulsive exerciser, and I just couldn't do it anymore. I just couldn't. I was so despairing by the time I got here that once I sat at my first meeting, I felt kind of a flood of relief. And I think that maybe all the time I spend on talking about what it was like. If you really need to know how miserable it was, you can talk to me after the meeting. If you've walked in this room, you probably have experienced some of the misery yourself, right? Good enough. What happened once I got here? So I got to my first meeting and the first meeting, I'm not even sure exactly what was said. I cried a lot, and then all anybody would tell me was keep coming back. So I did that. I just keep coming back. I go to the next meeting, the next meeting. I didn't really understand what you did in between meetings, and then, but people would say, you know, don't eat and go to another meeting. But I had no idea how to form a food plan. I had no idea what normal eating was. I didn't know what a portion was, but I kind of had this idea. I grew up in Los Angeles, right? So you had to be a health food eater and thin to have any self-worth at all, right? That was kind of how my brain worked. But I did have an idea that I wanted to be someone who ate healthfully. So I just started aiming at that. You guys told me to eat 3 meals a day, no sugar, nothing in between. And then the next thing I think I heard was get a sponsor. So Somewhere in that 30 days, I got a sponsor, that sponsor, I started, because she said, call in my food. I started calling in my food. It was a lettuce leaf for lunch, cottage cheese, and a grapefruit. Because to me, that was, you know, how I was going to lose weight. And I really didn't know how to eat. So welcome if you're new. It takes a long time to find a way of eating that works for me. So did that. Then Beverly told me she couldn't take me through the steps. She could lick my food. She could be a food sponsor, but she had actually never worked the steps. She'd been here 20-something years, and she'd never actually done an inventory. She's still in program. I don't know if she's done an inventory yet, but I run into her if I go down to LA every so often. But I appreciated her honesty, because by that time I had heard about something called the promises. And I realized, and I had heard that you couldn't kind of get the promises of the program if you didn't start working the steps. I mean, we read the promises, maybe you even read them here. They come after working the first 9 step, but there's a promise with every single step. And that's one of the things I love about this program. So I found this sponsor, her name was Patty A. She spoke kind of like this. The meeting was probably bigger than this. In the 80s, you guys, some of you remember it, was hundreds. We had meetings that were sometimes hundreds of people large. I think part of that was that the insurance companies were paying for rehabs at that time, and they'd shuffle in all of these newcomers from people who were in eating disorders. They didn't really stay, but they helped plump up the meetings. What else do I want to say about that? So Patty A. Got up. She spoke. She was mean. She was angry. She was hostile. She was red. She perspired. She had no serenity. But she told me she knew how to work the steps. And she gave me her phone number and said, call me. So I did. And then she growled at me at the other end of the phone. But she said, call me every day. And I did. And then she decided she would meet with me at Biff's Coffee Shop in Reseda, California. And she took out a big book. And it had paper cover. There was no soft cover ones. Then it said, this is the basic text. We study this. This is what we do. And I will devote my time to you. I don't really want to sponsor you, but my sponsor has said I have to, so I'm going to. This is my story, you know? And she did. And she devoted her time to me week after week, phone call after phone call. Like I said, I have other problems. I had serious emotional difficulties. I come from a home of having been raised with abuse and addiction. I had a lot of pain coming in. And when I stopped overeating, in a way, even though I had some relief from it, the pain of everything else came up. But you guys have given me the tools to survive that and actually to move beyond that. I'm not at the mercy of any of that anymore. So Patty was the first person who took me through the steps. She left when I had about 2 years in program, and then I needed to ask other women for help, which I did. And I've continued for 32 years to ask other women for help, to tell the truth in meetings, to show up to meetings, to sponsor. I never really stop working the steps. I know there's a theory about you go through it once and then you do 10, 11, 12, not my experience. So I don't have a lot of time. What I want to say about what it's like now is this year, at the beginning of the year, my sponsor kind of put me on notice. I've been working with her about 5 years. I've had a lot of loss this year. I've lost my dad, my aunt, who was one of my closest friends, my dog, and my mother-in-law just a couple months ago. And at the beginning of this year, when I was still taking, I think the last time I was here, I just lost my dad. And at the beginning of this year, my sponsor kind of put me on notice. It was kind of like we weren't really working the steps, so what were we doing together? And I got a little nervous, and she's not my friend, so she's not with someone I feel like a huge connection with. She's a very quiet person, which I do not relate to in the slightest. And it's, you know what I mean? I'm kind of out there with how I feel and what I think and connecting with people. And she's very reserved, and in fact, she has a lot of anxiety. So it's difficult to draw out kind of from her. But she kind of put me on notice. She didn't really like what we were doing. It felt nebulous to her. And then I don't know if it was her or me that came up with working a step a month, but that's what we've been doing this year. So thank you for 12-stepping me today. This kind of is tying that year in a nice bow. None of it's in a nice bow, right? Recovery's messy, right? But I like to think that way. And I'm on the 12th step this year, and you guys have carried me through this year. And working a step a month has really gotten me through emotionally the turmoil that's been this last year. And I haven't eaten. I mean, I think that's the take-home message, right? I've gotten through it without padding my emotions with food and stuffing them. This is a gift. You know, I am somebody who, long time into recovery, was not really pleased to wake up. Like I said, I have other problems. Waking up, life was drudgery for a really long time for me. It's taken a long time to clear away the wreckage. But for the last, I'd say, 10 years, I've had a relief, 5 more minutes, from the emotional pain that I kind of had to live in, not self-imposed, just trying to burn it off, you know what I mean? Mm. Today I got up, I was like, it's glorious out. You know, so for me as a human being to like even think about the word glorious in relation to waking up is a testament to this program, right? I also really like not waking up hungover with food because I know what it is to wake up nauseous and hungry, dehydrated from whatever it is. I'm doing a little outside reading too, and I don't want to infuse this with outside, but one of the things that this book said that I'm reading right now is kind of trying to fix myself with outside stuff was trying to quench your thirst by drinking salt water. And I was like, oh, I so get that. But I also know what it's like to wake up after having tried to quench my soul with food, right? You know, I wake up thirsty, nauseous, and needing to do it again to quell the pain of having eaten like I did. I haven't had to do that for a very, very long time, but I remember really clearly what it's like to have that happen. My work life is really heavy right now. I'm in a difficult work situation that is taking every ounce of recovery I have. I've done inventories. I'm very blessed that this sponsor happens to be in the same profession I am and has a lot of experience, strength, and hope to share. Thank God we didn't decide to call it quits, or she did. I haven't been fired really before because I have to say that this last, I just had this experience, and I'll try to wrap up with this. This program is lately what I call the power of being understood for me. From that very first meeting, and I walked in, and I felt understood. You knew what it was like to eat like I did. This is a big deal for me even today. And about 2 weeks ago, I called my sponsor. I had to file an HR complaint against somebody who's been abusive in the workplace for a long time, but I'm now in the position of finally making sure something gets done about it. But the emotional backlash of having to do that was really heavy for me, the enormous fear. And I didn't really know what was happening, but because of sponsorship, I brought it to an inventory to my sponsor and she named it for me and I could move through it. So this for me is the way the program works in real time. And then I show up here and I tell you that I'm not through it entirely, but I bring it to group level. I talk about it. I talk about it in my home group. And I have a shot at not eating over it and to growing through it. You know, can I grow through this? You know, my work life is really important to me. It's very meaningful to me, but they do not get my self-worth and they do not get my peace of mind. Ain't gonna happen, right? And I come here and it helps with that. So if I sound like I'm in a little bit of fighting mode, I kind of am, which is not kind of spiritual, but it's been pretty rough. And today is about the best rested I've been in weeks. I need to go to more meetings. I'm doing all the other stuff, but I need to go to more meetings. So I'm going to keep coming back. I hope you will too. I hope I said something useful today. Recovery is possible. I think that's the main message that I want to give today. And I'm going to shut up.
Thank you.